I study usually about Friday evening when I teach. I say, well, I guess it's time to figure out what I'm going to teach on. So I go to the quarterly and figure out what it was. So yesterday I went to the quarterly and I looked at it and it was on church. Why should we have a church? And what about the organization? Well, I got excited about that because, you know, I'm very interested in church organization. And I came from a foundation of church growth principles. And so I thought, well, man, this is going to be great. In fact, I even got my introduction. Usually what I do, I have an introduction, I have a conclusion, and then what happens within 40 minutes between the two, I have no earthly idea. Because you all are generally the one that take us wherever we need to go. So, my introduction was this. I had somebody very close to me this last week who grew up a Seventh-day Adventist, went to Seventh-day Adventist schools, and they asked a question. We think that we want to start attending a church, but we want to go to a Sunday church. And how do you feel about that? Then guess what I figured out? On the wrong list? That's 4 weeks from today. So Roger. Rob. I already have my introduction for 4 weeks from now, so I got to teach that lesson on church organization because I've already gone through the pain of an introduction. By the way, I'm going to start the lesson 4 weeks from today with that exact story because what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, what would you say to that person? But, wrong lesson. So, let's get to this lesson. What happened was I was walking around thinking, and because that's the way I prepare, I just think. And I kept saying, something's just not clicking. And so then when I went back and looked at the quarterly, I thought, oops, that was November the 27th. This is October.
I was sitting here looking at the lesson thinking, where did he get that out of this?
Yeah, yeah.
Where did this come from?
Hey, what's sad about that is I get that a lot of times when I'm on the right lesson.
This one was real stretch, right?
Yeah. Because sometimes what I get from the quarterly is the word thee. Then I move on from that. So anyway, that's so 4 weeks from now, whatever that date is, I am ready. Because we're going to look at the church structure. And I can give you a little insight. Most likely we have it totally upside down. We're totally upside down. So anyway, that's 4 weeks. However, if y'all want to hear that lesson today, I am ready. All right, so let's go to this week's lesson. Sin. All right. Pardon? That is the right lesson, right? We're against it. Okay. Well, first of all, if to solve a sin problem, that's good. I certainly didn't hear that from this side of the room. First of all, we got to define sin. So, in other words, if we have a sin problem, we've got to figure out, well, what is sin? All right, so somebody give me some definitions. What is sin? Yes. Transgression of the law. Okay. Yes.
Failure to trust.
Failure to trust. All right. Well, let's see, Peggy. Miss Lee, you're next. We're going right. Looks like we're going right down that road. All right. Well, give me some other definitions, if there are any.
Missing the mark.
Okay. What else?
I agree with him.
Agree with who?
Lack of trust.
Okay. Lack of trust. All right. Everybody. Does anybody have the Revised Standard Version or the New Revised Standard Version? Does anybody?
I have it.
Okay. Look up 1 John 3:4. Now, the reason I like the Revised Standard Version, it's closer to the Greek than most all the Bibles. In fact, when I took Greek the second time around, I thought I was doing pretty good until my instructor, who will remain nameless, brought me in and said, "Ernie, there are no these and thous in the Greek." So I've realized that kind of copying from the Revised Standard Version wasn't really translating the Greek. So I got caught on that. But it is close. All right. Now, Mr. Taylor said sin is transgression of the law. That's what I was taught when I grew up. So let's see what the Revised Standard Version says, the definition of sin. A little bit louder, Peggy.
Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness.
Okay. All right. What does that mean? Sin is lawlessness. What does that mean?
You want me to read some more?
Nope. I want these people to figure it out. Pardon? Okay, so you got to obey the law. Okay, what else does lawlessness mean? Yes?
I'm above the law, I am the law, I can do as I please.
Okay, all right. How many of y'all have radar detectors in your car? Come on. Is anybody? Nobody.
Over here.
Oh, who? Oh. Now, fair question, because I only ask fair questions, don't I?
Yeah.
Why? Huh? You did what?
I got a speeding ticket 2 weeks ago coming to church and telling them I was on my way to church, didn't
get it out. Okay, that's all right. Which one of you all have a radar detector in your car?
Kevin does.
I don't have a detector, but I only go 5 miles over the limit.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have an even better idea.
Yes.
I just follow someone going really fast.
Okay. Okay. All right. Are you a law-abiding citizen?
Depends on what it is.
You a law-abiding citizen?
Not in that matter.
You a law-abiding citizen?
Oh, no, not in that matter. Maybe not some other words. Depends on the law.
Okay. Name me some sin. Pardon? Name me some sin.
Unbelief.
Who said that? Come on. Name me some.
Anything that interferes with your relationship
to God. Okay, name that though. I want specifics.
Pride.
Theft?
Yeah, theft.
Okay. Pride. Who said pride?
I did.
Pride? Okay. Dave?
Being critical of one.
Critical? Name me some more sin.
Lying?
Anything that does not appeal to ten.
It doesn't obey the Ten Commandments?
Murder?
What else? Yes?
Being a workaholic?
Not guilty on that one. Pardon?
Gossip.
Okay. Stealing. Yes. What?
Stealing.
Okay. Yes.
Being critical and judgmental.
Yes. Okay.
Lust.
Okay. All right. Now, where did sin begin?
In heaven.
In heaven. Okay. And how did it begin?
By choice. Satan wanted to be like God.
Yeah, to be God.
Jealousy.
God.
Wanted to be God. Okay. How do you think that began with Lucifer? Highest ranking angel next to Christ. Angels loved him. How did that begin?
Pride and self-exaltation.
Pardon?
Pride and self-exaltation.
Okay.
Maybe a little resentment.
Resentment? Okay. All right. Since this side's talking, you all are going to get to fill in the blanks over here because you all know, I might as well just get a screen and talk to this part. So you all going to have to fill in the blanks. Is resentment a sin?
When you can't let go of it.
Nope, talking to these people. We're going to get these people involved whether they want to get involved or not. Is resentment a sin? Pardon?
Is resentment covetousness?
I don't answer questions. I ask questions.
It's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, well, it's a good question. Is resentment sin?
Yes.
Who said yes?
I did.
Thank you. I appreciate an answer. All right. Then, let's say he resented. What did that lead to? Jealousy? Okay. Is jealousy a sin?
Yes.
Okay.
Be careful with that.
Pardon?
Be careful with that. Jealousy.
No, we're talking in the form, I understand it. We're talking in the form of jealous, as with Lucifer. Lucifer was jealous. Is that a sin?
Yes.
Yes. What else happened?
With resentment and jealousy, usually the focus is on me and what I'm not getting or what somebody else has. So it's kind of that starting point of feeding myself in that focus.
Okay. All right. All right. Is that a sin?
Yes.
All right. What did that lead to?
Plotting.
Okay. Before he rebelled, what did he do?
When he started whispering and sharing some of his concerns very subtly with some of the other angels.
Okay, and then what did you all think he said to the other angels?
He's got a better plan.
Pardon?
He has a better plan.
Better plan? Okay.
That God wasn't fair.
God wasn't fair? What else?
All of his favorites.
Is that a sin?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Then what did that lead to?
More sin.
More sin, but what did that lead to?
Distrust,
which led to what?
Open rebellion.
Is open rebellion a sin?
Yes.
Now, if all of these are sins, which started out with resentment or jealousy or the thinking inside, why didn't God deal with that right there? Because if sin is transgression of a law, and sin separates us from God, which it does, why didn't God deal with that right there once that resentment entered into his life?
He dealt with it in his own way to show his family, his people, that he is a forgiving God.
Okay. When pride, did pride enter into Lucifer's life?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you say, I want to be like the Most High. By the way, that's one of the greatest compliments given to God. Do you understand that? When he said he wanted to emulate God. Beautiful, in a sense, compliment to God that he wanted to be just like him. Not above him, not different, just like him. But we know that was for a wrong purpose. Was that sinful? Yes or no?
Yes.
These aren't hard questions. Thank you. Why didn't God do something there?
Insinuated him to be intoxicated.
Yes. Assassination. Why didn't God deal with that if God is holy, and He is, and sin is against God? Why did He wait through the time, all the way through, till there was open rebellion? What were you going to say, Jim?
To let the other angels see that how sin deteriorates, and that if He killed him right away, that they would follow God in fear. Uh-huh.
So there's no other angels, there's no other universe. It's just Him and Satan. Then God would have dealt with Satan way early.
Right on the spot.
Right on the spot, He'd have whacked him.
Right.
Right on the spot. Whap! For what he was thinking. You know, Christ gets into all of these meetings, and I don't. By the way, that's where it started. I don't get into it. I kind of think that's unfair. Bam! Boy, I better tie this one up, hadn't I, Rob? We might be here till noon today. Yes.
God is a loving God. So
okay.
His response had to be a response of love.
Okay.
And so if He had zapped him right away, that doesn't really look like and prove that He's a God of love.
Okay, so let me get this right. So God is a God of love. But if He really had His own way, He would have zapped him. But because He didn't want to look bad, He didn't.
Well, He was a God of love. It was true.
There's an entire process. I mean, God, it's like your old saying.
Diane
saying, God is a God of love, but there's a process. The same way He is tolerant and long-suffering with us, He was the very same way with the heavenly host. I mean, Satan started this idea, so it developed. It didn't just happen. The Lord goes, He didn't zap us immediately. He is a God that has given us all a choice. So Satan had the choice. He was thinking. I agree with Dave. I'm sure the Lord was communicating. God was communicating.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, probably walking with Him and saying.
But if sin is transgression of the law, and when you commit sin, the penalty of sin is death. So if doubting is a sin, why didn't God deal with it right there?
I'm sure He talked to him and said, you know, where is this coming from? Why do you think this way? He's the second, third in command.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
Simply, he had to be true to his character. But the verse that comes to mind is, His mercy and grace is new each morning, great is His faithfulness. He's going to be faithful to who He is. And I think if I have a thought, it's not necessarily a sin at that moment. It's if I choose to act on it or...
Okay. Now, yes.
Well, we are told since Christ's death in the new heaven, when sin won't raise up its head again, God will destroy it or not let it progress.
And why will that be?
Because we've already been through that.
Okay. So what happens when we get to heaven?
He's not going to let sin develop again.
Then why did He let it begin in the first place?
Because He was showing us the evilness of sin, and since it's already in the minds of all of the heavenly angels, that they
getting
know.
Close. Now you're getting close. Will we have free will in heaven?
Yes.
Well, in a perfect world, was there free will? Is the world going to be perfect in heaven?
Yes.
And we have free will.
Yes. But we don't want to sin then.
Why?
Because we know God is love and we love Him.
And we know the result of where sin leads.
Okay. All right. When did the devil, Lucifer, cross the path of no return?
At the cross.
No.
Wasn't it during Job when he went to
bed? Yeah, he had access to heaven.
Was it during that time, though, I think he was eliminated from heaven?
We easily say that sin is transgression of the law. by the way, it says lawlessness. That's a state of mind. It says also in some versions, sin is also the transgression of the law. Somebody look up Romans 14, the last sentence in Romans 14. Not in the clear word. I don't have this particular passage I don't like in the clear word. Okay. Now, let's look at the two-thirds of the angels that did not commit sin. Would we agree with that? Okay. What was going through their mind when this was taking place in heaven? Pardon? Certainly. What else?
Who is right?
Okay. And was they in heaven when Lucifer was cast out, or when he left to go take his message somewhere else? He wasn't physically thrown out of heaven. He just had in heaven. He had no more sermons to give, so he went about devouring whoever he could devour. When he was cast out, up until the cross, what was the mindset of the two-thirds of the angel as well as the universe about God? Pardon?
They still had some doubt. They still had some...
Still had what?
Some doubt.
Oh, wow. How would you deal with a person who says, I think that the big argument between you and Sue, which, by the way, we haven't had a big argument in probably 5 years. I learned. I can't overemphasize that, Roger. I learned. What would you do with a person who says, you know, in this disagreement, I think you're right, but I'm really just not positive? I'll lean to you, but I really think, not real positive, that Lucifer is wrong. How would you feel about that? Because that went on for over 4,000 years. Our God, two-thirds of the angels in heaven, the universe, all saying, we trust you, God. We're going to take your side, but we just still have some reservations. Why wasn't that sin? Charles.
Before all this happened, there was no murders, rapes, killings, and all that. And on the earth, all that is taking place in this time period, how could the angels go through 4,000 years of not saying, man, this is just totally opposite of what we've known and experienced with God from eternity, to see all this going on earth, not instantly know the sin is terrible and side with God?
It's a great question, and the answer is that's the mystery of sin.
I think there was another question possibly.
What was that?
Why is God allowing this to go on?
Absolutely. So, one of the most dramatic events in the Old Testament was what? The flood. What a chance God took. Can you imagine Lucifer marching through the universe saying, I told you so. You see what happens when you don't obey God? He is going to kill you. That's, by the way, exactly what he did. How many were saved?
Eight.
Yeah. Had to get them in there. And what kind of good Christians were they when they got out?
Poor, good.
All the best.
All the best. Yeah. Good thing Noah wasn't head elder. You would have been right out. What took place then at the cross of Calvary? Because the quarterly says that's where the sin problem was cured. And by the way, I agree with that. Absolutely. 100%. What took place at the cross of Calvary?
Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, died.
What does that mean?
It means that it couldn't just be any man. It had to be God that gave of his life. The life giver had to be the one to sacrifice his life for our eternal life. Okay. For our salvation.
Okay. And
in a way, it's hard to see, but it showed his perfect love for mankind.
Oh, absolutely, it showed his perfect love. Yes.
I think God demonstrated and said to the world, "I would rather die than give up my children."
Okay. Absolutely.
Satan was on the house.
Come back to that. So am I correct then, in order to appease God the Father, somebody had to die?
Not appease God the Father. To redeem us from sin.
How?
That was the problem.
How? How did it redeem us from sin?
Again, there had to be the sacrifice of blood. There had to be the...
So in order to appease God, some blood had to be shed.
It wasn't actually to appease God. It was to show the people that God is
what?
Able to give up his soul.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yes?
Somehow, I don't think I'm going to express this part right, but somehow with sin... Satan seems to have the right to those people. They're his. And I don't know exactly how that works between him and God. But Christ's sacrifice was to reconcile us back to him. It was somehow that it was taking us back away from Satan.
In what way?
I'm not... Again, I'm not in the way of the end result either being eternal death versus Christ being able to give us eternal life with him.
Okay.
It was to answer the question that Satan raised.
Okay. So you're saying the thing, same thing he did. Yes.
I think there's something that I don't really have a choice to choose or not choose God until after. Or in faith, looking forward to nothing. The moment I accept Christ's sacrifice, then I can choose freely. I'm going to continue to trust God.
Okay. So there had to be a sacrifice to appease God.
Whose idea was that?
I see.
Pardon?
It is interesting that the Bible says when we think about how sin can find its way into a holy place. Actually, the Bible says the mystery of iniquity, in a way.
Can't explain it.
But I can see God with his two hands. On one side is justice, and on the other side I can see mercy.
Now, how am I doing so far? Rob's about to die over here. Just kidding. All right, so let's sum it up because I want to get to the bottom of it. See, what you all are giving me are nice words. God's merciful, but He's just. I understand that. I've been taught and fought that for many years, but let's look at it then. Did somebody have to die in order for us to have eternal life?
No.
I got a yes, and I got a bunch of no's. All right, well, let's back up.
Without the shedding of blood,
Absolutely. That's right. And it depends on how you look at that text. All right, let's back up. Is it okay to back up, Roger? Okay. Probably we should have stayed with the church organization. No, I know exactly where I'm at. I'm in good shape. I got 15 minutes. All right, let's back up. What if Satan, and by the way, Satan asked for an audience with Jesus at one time, and he told Jesus that he was wrong, that he had made a mistake. But he was afraid of the consequences, not true repentance. Very beautiful deal in the story of redemption where Jesus cried over it. So, well, let's go, what if? What if Satan rethought his position and came back to God and said, I've made a mistake. I would like to be put back into your family. I'm willing to start not as the light bearer, but I'll start at the bottom of the angel rung and work my way up. Could that have happened?
Yes.
Possible.
That's all I said. Could it happen? What do you think God's response would have been?
He would have forgiven him.
He would have been forced to have said, that's beautiful. That's fantastic. But let me go kill my son first so that I am able to forgive you. You like that one? Then why do you accept and I accept and we accept that God has to kill somebody in order to accept us into His kingdom? Do you understand where that puts God? It puts Him exactly where the devil wants Him. Jesus is your friend, but God is a different person. And unless Jesus comes and dies for you, God sits there and says, I cannot forgive. You ever watched a loved one die? What pain did you go through? Horrible pain. We are told that when Christ went to Calvary, what did He say on the cross? What else? Pardon? Yeah. What else? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
It's finished.
Finished. Do you understand that the angels in heaven, not only the angels, but the universe itself, was watching? For 4,000 years plus, they looked at the controversy of God saying, I am merciful, I am just. Watch how I deal with my children. Watch how I have to take extreme measures. But look what I do to love them. I even create a flood to try to bring the world back into harmony. I did all of these things out of love and mercy. And the devil was going around saying, see what he's like, see what he's like. I told you, I told you, I told you. And for 4,000 years, the universe and two-thirds of the angels. And I'm like Charles, how can it be? They were still on the fence. They trusted God enough to stay with Him. But because God is all-loving and all-kind, He allowed their thoughts within their mind, and they kept saying, I think God is true, but I'm just not positive. Jesus said to Moses, lift the banner. All who looked at it were what? Saved. And He said, when I be lifted up, I will draw all. The word men is put in there. It's not there. I will draw all to me. And when He was lifted up on Calvary, He said, what every sinner will go through. My God, why have You forsaken Me? Because when we choose to do sin, not sins, when we choose to be on Satan's side, or we choose to be on God's side, as we make mistakes, we get back up. Tell them your favorite text, Rob, in Proverbs.
Proverbs 24:16.
Give it to us.
The righteous man fall 7 times, but rise again. The wicked fall in their mischief, and they know not how to rise.
That's exactly right. So as we go through our life and we do a little gossip, yes, not good. Gossip hurts us. But the world didn't gossip. The world was loyal. It didn't murder. It didn't do these things, the universe and the angels. When they looked at the cross of Calvary and they saw the Savior who they knew and loved say, Father, forgive them. Why are You forsaking Me? Why are You leaving Me? Because that is the ultimate result of sin. Is you choose to separate yourself from God. God's the life giver. You choose to separate from the life giver, what's the natural consequence?
Death.
Then the universe and those angels saw for the first time the unmasking of both sides in the great controversy. They saw a God so loving, so kind, give His Son, His only begotten Son, to show that if we persist in rebellion, this will be the natural consequences of what will happen in our life. And oh, how the tears flow. How the pain was there. I have some kids to keep them from the pain. I would take the pain. You would too. The most hard thing is to be helpless and watch the one you love and care for, the one throughout eternity is part of you, and see them go through what happened there. But guess what? There's another power at the cross. And what was that power doing? Come on, what was that power doing? No. There's another power other than God at the cross. What was that power doing? Killing! Killing! Now, the universe angels and the universe, especially the two-thirds of the angels, they love this person. But when they looked at the cross of Calvary, they saw the two sides unfold totally. One that said, I have to let my son die in order to demonstrate what sin will do to you. And the other side totally unmasked, because the angels in the universe knew Satan and they knew God. And they were horrified at what they were seeing. And we're told then at the cross, it was forever settled in the universe and for the angels that God is the God that we can trust and we can relate to and that loves us with an undying love. Men are not afraid to die for men. We just had a deal in Libya a couple of, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago, where two ex-Navy SEALs, what did they do? They ran in to save and gave up their life. Men are not afraid to die for men. God doesn't want the shedding of blood. Yes, shedding of blood, because it took what Christ did to go to Calvary for us to understand, in the universe, to understand the perspective of what God is like and the unmasking of the devil. That's what it took. When you look at, I'll come to you in a second, Leroy. When you look at the cross of Calvary, you know, I had a guy save my life. Literally, David Bergwald. Almost drowned. I would have drowned if it had not been for him. And I was beholden. Then we become business partners. And I wanted to choke him. He knows this. I've told him. You see, that beholding only took so long. I'm beholden to God because He did everything He can. And He said, just as Moses said, choose life or choose death. I want you to choose life. But my Son will show you, if you choose death, what the consequences are. A separation from the life giver. Leroy?
One other aspect of the cross. Jesus came to this earth to tell and to demonstrate the love of the Father. Had He stopped short of that cross, it would have proven there is a limit to God's love.
Okay. Got no problems with that. Sin? We're good at pointing out sins. Did you see that guy? I think he's a little light on his tithe payment this week. By the way, that's why you never want to be a treasurer. Do you see that guy? I think he did this. Do you see that guy? I think he did that. See? What God is looking for, when we fall down, get up! Get up! Start your walk again. And the story of the cross is the story of the good daddy in Luke 15. The boy came and didn't get his speech out. Only thing that had to die was a fatted cow. Why would we look at our Father and say less? He says, I want you to come home. I want you to go home. And I'm going to kill the fatted veggie burger and we're going to have a great feast. That's what He wants to do. Instead, we say, come home and somebody's got to die for us before God can throw that party. I know my Father better than that. I've been down the prodigal's road. And I heard the pleading I heard before I even left to go down the road, Ernie, don't do this. The road's hard, and you will pay the consequences. Don't do this, but I'll be with you. And I went down the road, and I paid the consequences. I still pay them every once in a while. But I never doubted God was still with me. Not because His Son went to a cross, because God is who He is. The greatest strength of God is I'm the same God in heaven, I'm the same God on earth, I'm the same God today, and when you get back to heaven, I'll still be the same God. That's the common thread that runs through those 66 books, is He is the same. Father in heaven. Probably stirred up more questions than answers. But help us to keep the main point. You loved us enough that despite everything you could do, you finally said, Son, we'll put it in your hands to show the world who I am. Because you and I are the same. So we look to the cross of Calvary. May we see that love. Sin is so funny. Doesn't make one lick of sense to go down the road of rebellion. But that's the mystery. But the good news is, whatever road we're on, you're there. On the good road, you have our arm around us and we're talking. On the bad road we choose, you have your arm around us and you're begging. That's who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.